The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
So, oikos, amen. The house of God. Amen. Now, that is something that I've not really, mentioned. We're talking about the glory of this house, this letter house. The glory of this letter house. So, this house of God has its glory. So, we are the house of God. God lives in us. So, there is something that I've explained, but maybe I've not given this tense since I started this particular class. Spirit within, spirit upon. This is one particular concept you have to understand if you're going to understand how to manifest, okay, the glory of God, how to flow in spiritual things. Spirit within, spirit upon. So the idea is, every child of God has the spirit of God, that glory we are talking about, that glory within, he lives in every child of God. So there is no child of God that doesn't have the spirit. This spirit within, we are talking about the indwelling spirit. Indwelling. So, it's in every child of God. So, it lives in you. So, there is no child of God that does not have the Spirit of God within him. No child of God. No believer. No matter who the believer is, no matter what he is doing, that Spirit within lives. The Spirit lives within the believer. You know, the Bible talking about it, he said, Jesus said, I'll give you the Holy Spirit and he shall be with you. He shall live in you forever. So that's the spirit within. Now, there is the spirit that comes upon. There is a spirit upon. That spirit upon is still the same Holy Spirit. Okay? Spirit. When you hear spirit upon now talks about manifestation. Expression. So, for instance, as I am here now, as you're seated there, you have the Spirit of God in you. You have the gift of healing, whatever, inside of you. But when you now begin to pray in tongues, shakalabara, what they're doing is, you are now taking from within and bringing upon. So, when you hear Spirit upon, it's talking about expression. That's why when you read the Bible, every time the Bible will say, and the Spirit of God came upon, you always see a manifestation. Either they spoke in tongues or they heal the sick or the... I know I'm talking about. And so, what I teach you in how to flow in spiritual things is actually how to take the spirit within and bring it upon. You get the point? So, I'm not teaching you how to get the spirit within. It's how to take the spirit within and bring upon. So, how to take from what you have and flow in it. And express it. I get what I'm talking about. So spirit within is indwelling. Spirit upon manifestation. So even from the Old Testament, you hear things like, the Spirit of God came upon Samson. You will see, he will bring down a wall. The Spirit of God came upon this one. The Spirit of God came upon Samuel. He prophesied. The Spirit of God came upon. So every time there is an upon, there is a spirit upon, it always talks about manifestation, expression, spiritual flows. Results, things that can be seen, things that can be heard. Are you following me? But then spirit within talks about the state of the believer. The state of the believer. He is indwelled by the Holy Spirit. At every time, every moment. So can someone have the spirit within and yet not the spirit upon? Yes. What it means is that person has the Holy Spirit, but has not learned how to flow with the Spirit, how to express I get what I'm talking about. So the difference between the Old and New Testament is that the Old Testament guys never had the Spirit of God within. Never. But once in a while, upon a few of them, the priest, the prophet, and all of that, the Spirit can come upon them and they do some spiritual things. But that's just it. But we have the Spirit of God within. I get what I'm saying? So, for the new creation man, for the New Testament guy, if we use these circles now that I'm going to use to illustrate, it's not always the best, but I'm going to use it, where this outside is the body. This is the mind. This inside is the spirit. So you notice I'm going to explain it. This is not the best. I'm just going to use it. This inside now that I'm shading is indwelt by the spirit. Do you understand? The spirit can never live. This is the spirit of man. It's full of the spirit. This is indwelt by the spirit. But then there is the mind. This second one, the mind. This is your mind. Sometimes immoral thoughts used to come there. I get what I'm saying. Sometimes lying used to jump in there. This mind now is affected by these things I'm going to show you, but not only them. This mind, that's the second one, is affected by your sight, your hearing, and your feeling. So how do things get into your mind? I'm not explaining spirit within and spirit upon to you. How do things get into your mind? What you see, what you hear, what you feel. So, if you are thinking about immoral things now, how come you are thinking about those things? You possibly saw it, or you heard it, or you did it, you felt it. I didn't get the point. But there, so, you notice that mind can be different at different times. But another thing that we don't always say enough is that it's not only sight, hearing, and feeling that can affect the mind. What is coming from here can also affect the mind. What is coming from your spirit, man? So that's why when you begin to pray, for instance, you find out that that spirit of God that already indwells your spirit, man, can begin to cast its influence over your mind. I get what I'm talking about. Before, you know, you're now thinking differently. You're now thinking spiritual things. You're now here. Because actually, even when you hear from God, where do you receive the things you hear from God? Your mind. That's actually the truth. The things you hear from God are actually coming from your spirit, man. They're coming to your mind. They're coming from your spirit, man, to your mind. Do you know what I'm saying now? Do you get what I'm saying? So when we talk about spirit within, yes, Holy Ghost is in your spirit. Spirit upon is the thing now flows from inside and now comes to the realm of your mind and eventually to the realm of your flesh, your body, where you can now use your hands to lay hands on the sick, you can now use your tongue to pray in tongues, you can now use your tongue to prophesy. I get what I'm saying. So the problem is many of us have not learned how to, you know, yes, the Holy Ghost lives inside of us. We've not learned how to express this thing. That is how to carry this thing that is inside here to the realm of the mind and to the body. That's how we can be a blessing to people and even be a blessing to you. I get what I'm saying. So healing is inside of you. It's in your spirit, man. But then that healing is your spirit, man, doesn't mean that people are going to get it automatically. You have to begin to touch people. Pray for them. Express. So you bring from within to upon. Is it very clear? So when we're talking about this flowing in spiritual things, is actually how to manifest, express the glory of God that He has put on our inside. How to express it in our mind and then in our body. Now, yesterday we rounded up the issue about utterance gifts. So today I'll begin to talk about revelation gifts. Revelation gifts. What are they? What are the three revelation gifts? word of knowledge, word of wisdom, discerning of spirits. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 8. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. So let's start from somewhere. Remember again, revelation gift is the gift to know. Right? The gift that knows something. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another word of knowledge. So we're going to look at these two together. Word of wisdom, but let's have a word of knowledge. Okay? You know, okay, well, I'll get to that later. I told you that the most important of the utterance gift is prophecy. What do you think is the most important of the revelation gift? Huh? Say of mine, nobody's going to kill you. What of? Which one? Somebody say discerning of spirit. Somebody say word of wisdom. Word of knowledge. If I have a word of knowledge, let me see one. Knowledge. Word of wisdom, let me see one. Discerning of spirit, let me see one. Choose your battle. Choose your side. Well, we're going to see as we study God's word. So let's start with the word of knowledge. So the word of knowledge is not... How many of us are ready to flow in these things? But I'm not here to just do theory class for you. We're going to get practical. Amen? You will hear God. Glory to God. The word of knowledge is not natural knowledge. It's not about knowing things. It's not about reading a book and then learning. The word of knowledge is not natural knowledge. Word of knowledge is not even knowledge of the Bible. Knowledge of the Bible comes by study. If you want to know the Bible, you study the Bible. Knowledge of the Bible is not a spiritual gift. The Bible tells us about how to know God's word. Paul said, you know, study, that's 2 Timothy 2 verse 15. Study to show yourself approved unto God. A workman that needed not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. So you study. So you don't get the knowledge of God's word by a supernatural gift. You don't get knowledge of God's word by a supernatural, you know, happening. You get knowledge of God's word by study. And so word of knowledge is not a supernatural, it's not a knowledge of the Bible. It's knowledge of the Bible. Word of knowledge is simply a supernatural knowledge of now facts or past events. I said again, supernatural knowledge of what is happening now or what has happened before, now or past events. Are you still here? And this gift functioned a lot and a lot in the Bible. So it is where God reveals to you, maybe talking about a person, what is happening in the person's life now. Or what has happened in the person's life before. Concerning a state, God can show you what is happening now or what has happened before. So that's what is called word of knowledge. So you get knowledge, but not by study, but just by an operation of the Spirit, you get to know something that's happening now or has happened before. In Acts chapter 9 and verse 10, let's some examples. There was a certain disciple named Ananias, and to him the Lord said in a vision, Ananias, and he said, behold, I am here, Lord. Verse 11, Lord said unto him, arise and go, watch this. Arise, go into the street, which is called Straight. So in this particular case, he told about a street, and he was even told the name of the street. This is word of knowledge. Agree on point? A street called Straight. Inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he pressed. So he gave him the name of a street. He gave him the name of a person's house. He even gave him what Saul was doing at that moment. For behold, he prayeth. I feel what I'm saying. Now, this is word of knowledge. God can talk to you about a person. What is happening, even about the streets, about a place, about a village. And the Lord said unto him, go into the street called Straight. So we see, God, it's not the name of the street. the house of Judas. He got the house. Get about Saul too. And then what Saul was doing at the moment, he prayed. Are you feeling what I'm talking about? See the next verse. And he had seen in the vision a man named. So notice the word of knowledge. He also got to know about a vision that Saul has seen. So God told him about something that Paul had seen. He had seen the vision of a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. See, again, he also showed him that Saul at the moment was blind. So you see, word of knowledge can reveal the past and reveal the present. So by word of knowledge, you can actually get into what has happened 5 years ago in your life. What has happened 3 years ago. What is happening now in someone's life. That is actually that's in the, can I probe? It's actually word of knowledge that they're doing. Do you understand the point? It's revealing. But I still don't blame them for generalizing all those things under prophetic, because, well, there's also a sense in that. But generally, that gift is called the word of knowledge. Are you see here? In 1 Samuel chapter 9, we'll have a lengthy story there from verse 1. And that's the story of Saul and Samuel. Saul had left his Bible said that there was a man of Benjamin whose name was Kish, the son of Abiel, the son of Zerah, the son of Bekorath, the son of Apia, a Benjaminite, a mighty man of power. In verse 2, he had a son whose name was Saul, a choice young man and a goodly. And there was not among children of Israel a goodlier person than he. From his shoulder and upward, he was higher than any other person. So the guy was tall. And the asses of Kish, Saul's father, were lost. And Kish said to Saul, his son, take now one of the servants with thee, and arise to go seek. And so the guy, they lost one of their sheep, you know. And then the father said, go look for that sheep. And he went everywhere, and he didn't find it. In verse 6, one of his servants told him, behold, now there is in this city a man of God. He's an honorable man. And all that he said come to pass. And eventually they went down to go and see Samuel the prophet. Are you still here? In verse 15, Bible said, now the Lord had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying, tomorrow about this time I will send thee a man out of the land. Well, this is also another gift manifested, which I'm going to come to shortly. He told him what was going to happen tomorrow. If you look, go down in their conversation, I think in chapter 10, Samuel may declare to him, the donkey you are looking for, whatever you are looking for, has been found. Your father has seen it. If I said at the moment, your father is no longer looking for that donkey, your father is now looking for you. That's word of knowledge right there. I get what I'm saying. The father is now looking for you. He's no longer the donkey. How did Samuel know? That's a supernatural happening. And we'll flow in this thing, so. Because we are the house of God, right? We house God. So we see that happened there in 1 Kings 19 verse 18. I just want to give you a few examples. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 18. This was God talking to Elijah at the moment had said that at the moment, I'm the only prophet of God left in Israel. All of them have forsaken you. All of them have bowed to Baal. And the Lord said, well, no, I have 7,000 in Israel, all these that have not bowed unto Baal. That's the word of knowledge right there. So Elijah thought at the moment was the only one standing. God said, no, there are 7,000 men who are standing. And so that's word of knowledge. That's the word of knowledge. If I take this further, 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 8, I can give you different examples of word of knowledge. 2 Kings 6, not first now, 2 Kings 6 and verse 8. The king of Syria warned against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, okay, in such and such a place shall be my camp. So the king of Syria said, look at where we're going to camp. And the man of God said unto the king of Israel, saying, beware that thou part not such a place. So every time the king of Syria would come together, it was a battle. The Syrians would run a meeting and say, well, we're going to camp around where now? Edinburgh. We're going to camp around there. And then Elisha will send to the king of Israel, people should not pass there. That's word of knowledge, clear. They will become the long one, not pass there. See the next verse. Verse 10. And he of Israel sent to the place which man of God told him and warned him of and saved himself there, not once, not twice. It kept happening. Every time the Syrians would plan and say, we're going to stay here, so the Elisha would say, don't pass there. Don't pass there. Word of knowledge. And of course, the heart of the king of Syria was so troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, will you not show me which of you? So he felt there was a spy in their midst. They was always telling the king of Israel where they were coming to. So somebody told him, say, he's not any spy. He's Elisha. In fact, what he said about Elisha is interesting. He said, not my lord, O king, but Elisha the prophet that is in Israel, telling the king, even the words that you speak in your bedchamber. So even if it is to discuss inside your room, that guy will hear it. So you notice in word of knowledge, you can hear people's conversation. I know what I'm talking about. And sincerely, I tell you, I've heard people's conversation. I've heard people conversing. I hear sometimes what people talk about before they come to church. That's word of knowledge. Glory to God. So even if it is to discuss in your bedchamber, this guy will hear it. This guy will hear it. One of the experiences I told my wife, I said, there is something happening. I saw a meeting. Look at the people in that meeting. Look at what they're discussing now. And that's word of knowledge. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So for real, I hear some things you talk about. It's just a gift of the Spirit. I mustn't say it. Some of you have told you. Glory to God. Sometimes, if I in one of knowledge, you can hear people's thoughts. If you read the Bible, Bible will say Jesus knowing their thoughts. That's why, have you not observed that sometimes, if I'm preaching, if I'm teaching you, let me give you an example, because the pastor should flow in this a lot. If I'm teaching, I could make a point, and then smile, and then say something else. Sometimes when I make that first point, a question will just arise in your heart. It's just, are you not trying to say, I'll now say the next, say, hey, yes, did he hear me? Most times we hear those thoughts. Amen. It's like I'm a preacher and I tell you, and someone is saying to me now, this and that. You know, I remember, I think that was Zoe 2017, where the theme of that meeting was the Word and the Spirit. So I was ministering, I think the second night, and, you know, I was teaching on spiritual things like this, and I got someone, I get a person a word and a process, and there was one guy standing there, and I was a guy, you're a leader, I said, you are doubting this thing, right? He said, I said, come. Let's test with you. Because I just heard his heart. I think it was a lady or so. I heard her lady. What's the name of that girl? I can't remember her name. Testimony, right? Something like that. I heard her voice clearly. Her heart started clearly in my ear. Say, it's not possible. Clearly. All of this is arranged. I said, yeah, you come. You are doubting it, right? I said, yes. So I began to tell her own. So we can actually hear people's thoughts. So that's why it's not something you learn in school. It's supernatural. Hallelujah. It's supernatural. So, it was straight word of knowledge in Acts chapter 5 that Peter got to know that Ananias and Sapphira were lying about the property that they sold. So, very important. So this gift reveals the things that are current or in the past that are naturally unknown to the speaker. Unknown to the speaker. So we've seen a few examples. So I want to, it's an oppression of the spirit. It's an oppression of the spirit. It's a miraculous revelation. It always comes out of that natural effort. It's not about spying on people. But there is one demonic, devilish thing people do today. Especially people that call themselves prophets. And they have a very demonic, it's demonic I'm using because it just has to be the devil that will inspire that kind of thing in their mind. And they're using it to support, they're using one Bible passage to support that foolish thing they're doing. So if a prophet wants to come and minister in this church, I'm telling you what they do. Not in this church anyway, they're not coming here. Called minister somewhere, they can send people ahead of time to come and ask questions. I'm telling you a real life story. If they're going to come minister here, they can send people like 3 weeks ahead of time to come and mingle here and get people's details. Say, oh, I'm new here. What's your name? Jeremiah, give me your number. I'm telling you. After they do all those mingling, they will go and submit the information to the man of God. On the day of the program, they will not come. You will not see them. There are men that work with the man of God. The man will now come up and tell me, I hear Jeremiah.
For real.
And you know the thing is, one of these guys that was involved in that, I was working for one of those prophets, began to speak up some years ago. And then I asked him, I said, why were you doing those things? He said, they gave us scripture. They said that when the Shunammite woman was coming to meet Elisha, that Elisha sent Gehazi to her to ask her, it's all well. So Elisha sent Gehazi to her to go and get information. I'm telling you, it has to be the devil that can inspire that kind of thing in your mind. Word of knowledge, the supernatural oppression, is not with natural, is not with effort. You get the point? It's not about going to gather prophetic details, as they call it. Prophetic details. So I come here, I get all your names. That's why some of those people cannot easily function as pastors. Whereas a pastor, you are with the same audience. You understand the point? Glory to God. Hallelujah. So you notice, word of knowledge is an operation of the Spirit. It's not something that natural human effort can carry out. So it's totally an operation of the Spirit. So it's not dependent on the knowledge of the Bible and all that. Let's see, you know, there are a lot of uses of these gifts I can show you in the Bible. You know, for instance, that 1 Kings 19 that I just quoted for you, where the Lord told Elijah that I have 7,000 that have not bowed to Baal. Elijah was discouraged, and that singular revelation strengthened him, knowing that, oh, you are not standing alone. So God used that thing to strengthen him. Amen. You know, in 2 Kings chapter 5, verse 20, let me show you one. In 2 Kings 5, verse 20, many times it was used in the Bible and what it worked out. Gehazi, the servant of Elisha, the man of God, because this was when Naaman got healed. He brought gifts for Elijah. Elijah said, I don't want. Glory to God. And Gehazi went behind to go meet Naaman and said, give me those gifts. Don't mind myself, my master. My master actually, you know, he actually rejected that gift at first. But there were some men that came in just now. And he now said, I should come and collect them from you. And, amen. He said, my master has sent me. Verse 23, watch now. And Naaman said, to give him everything that he wanted to give him. Verse 24. And when he came to the tower, he took from the hand and bestowed them in the house, and he let the men go, and they departed. Now see verse 25. But when he went in and stood before his master, Elisha said unto him, whence comest thou, Gehazi? And he said, thy servant went no whither. I have been around. And I said unto him, went not my heart with thee, when the man turned again from his chariot to meet thee? So Elisha, by a word of knowledge, exposed the hypocrite. You know, word of knowledge can expose hypocrites in the church. It's one of the things that a pastor should work with, because actually, this pastoral team, people can actually gather around and they're saying, ah, we celebrate you, sir. But thank God for the gift of the Spirit. I'm not one you can easily fool. So word of knowledge is not only used for saying, there's somebody here, your name is this. It helps in pastoral ministry. I'm just showing you how. There was no way Elisha would have known that guy went to collect that gift. So if you're a pastor, a minister, a leader that is blind, people can play you in the church. Play you totally. Come before you and laugh. Go behind and do whatever. And some of them are running companies, are leaders in different secular places. You need word of knowledge sometimes. Beyond what people are telling you, you should be able to know people beyond what you are hearing about them. I get what I'm saying. That sometimes you just pray in your room and you come to, and then right there you are praying, you are seeing two workers of yours sitting down and trying to swindle the company. And the next morning they just come in to come and greet you, say, ah, good morning, sir, you're welcome. You know, say, did not my heart go with you? Where you were sitting in your room last night. Glory to God. Say, went not my heart with thee? When the man turned again from his chariot to meet this, I went with you. I was there with you when you went there. Is it a time to receive money? To receive government? He began to list garments, olives, and all of that. Vineyards. Say, this is not the time. But how did he know that he received those things? He went to meet the man. He had a word of knowledge. So we are seeing gift of word of knowledge used to actually expose someone that is a hypocrite. So this can actually help a lot in leadership. This can help a lot in leadership. This can help a lot even in your relationship. I got a point. Even in your relationship. And I've shared with you guys, this has helped me once in one relationship that I thought I was in. And I thought I was in love. Glory to God. I really thought I was in love. And a university boy. That's why I keep maintaining that most relationships that they enter in universities are unnecessary. What I said, doubt it, after doubting it, later you find out I'm right. That most of, especially guys. Because a lady maybe might decide to marry in her third year or her fourth year. You know, right? In her final year. But a man, you're not, do you want to marry in your third year? Those of those are very unnecessary. But you're not here. It's okay. That was in love, or so I thought. And then, I went to pray. I told the lady, I will not be talking to you in the next, I won't go for a retreat. Praying in marriage, the Lord opened my eyes. And I saw this lady at that moment involved in an affair with someone she said was her ex. So I took note of the time, and then she came, when I saw her, and I said, so time, what were you doing? Say, nothing. I said, you are involved. She not start crying. Say, so you're trying to, so don't trust me. This is trust issues. All those emotional blackmail. I say, wait, sister, see, I know I'm in love with you. But see, I'm a man of God. Don't forget that particular part. And I can't tell you God said when God did not say. I'm telling you that by this time. She now started crying, the other type. You know that types of cry. She now switched the tears. I said, I'm sorry. I don't know how it happened. If I tell the other part of this story, just I don't have sense. But let's not go there. I don't have sense. But let's leave it. No forbid. So, it can help you your personal. It's not single connect. But I really don't have sense. I was very stupid. You know, I just told her, you know, I understand. I understand. I understand. I said, I want you to know that anything that comes from out of this, I'm ready to stand with you. This is so sweet, right? I was stupid. Why did God show me? Okay, so I'm just showing you the Bible. Hi. I never thought about this before in your life, and you're wondering. Are there things you've done? That you remember, I'm wondering, what is wrong with me? Actually, this love thing. The Bible says, don't awaken love before it's time. Don't do it. That's why a young girl will use her school fees to do love. School fees. Pray I'm not your father. No, pray. And if I am your pastor, I will pray that channels will be blocked against you for at least 8 months or 1 year so that you will know that life is not like that. A woman sells a wrapper to give you money for school fees and you go and fall in love in school. How dare you fall in love? Why will you try that? Brothers, they go help you. Because guys also do these things. It takes finance to run romance. I say that all the time. And it is forever true. So if you don't have the finance, leave romance alone. Until you get the finance. So I say we should be billionaires at least. Be able to buy a recharge card for yourself. Not with the money your mother gave you. Oh, glory to God. Okay, so, word of knowledge. Amen. You know, if you are still a young man here, and every time we are praying about financial provision, what you are thinking about is, God, let my mommy send me money. You are not ready for a relationship. I'm just telling you. You don't say, let's pray for financial provision. No, just my finances prospering. What you are thinking about is, let your mother send you money. You are not ready for a relationship. You are not. And that's not an insult. It's just a stage in your life. And everybody was at that stage at one time or the other. Maybe not everybody, but glory to God. So word of knowledge playing out right there. You know, Jesus used the word of knowledge, you know, to convict a sinner of her need. In John chapter 4, verse 16, it was word of knowledge that Jesus used on that Samaritan woman. Said, go call your husband. The woman said, I have no husband. He said, yes, you're right. Because you've actually had five husbands. That's word of knowledge right there. And the one you're living with. I'm trying to show you that there are many. You know, there's something I used to say earlier. You know, but that's why I'm doing what I'm doing. I've heard it from many pastors, and I also said it once or so. But I want to put, people normally say the word of knowledge cannot stand on its own at all times. That's not correct. It can stand on its own sometimes. Even though most times it will operate without gifts. But all these places I'm showing you now, we see word of knowledge playing a role without any other gift interfering. For instance, Jesus getting to know that this woman has had five husbands. What did he use this information to do? To convict her of her sins. Eventually, it led to her salvation. I get what I'm saying? We see word of knowledge playing a role in helping Saul find or know that the father was looking for him. Word of knowledge can help you find missing things. Let me get a point. Missing things, missing objects, missing items. You just say, oh, I just feel, go here, go. How some of you have experienced what I'm talking about? When you're looking for things and you just say, you go there, you can't find it. And you go there, you see it. Amen. So, we're seeing clearly here, Jesus used that gift to tell that woman, you've had five husbands. And eventually convicted her of sin. Amen. Because I mentioned missing objects, let me show you a scripture. 1 Samuel 10. 1 Samuel 10 verse 22. Because I've seen this one play out. Amen. This was when they were trying to choose a king for Israel. They were trying to anoint Samuel. So Saul went to hide. They were picking tribe by tribe. Go to his tribe. Go to verse 21. Let me show you. Previous verse. When he had caused the tribe of Benjamin to come near by their families, the family of Matri was taken, and Saul, the son of Kish, was taken. And when they sought him, he could not be found. Therefore, they inquired of the Lord further if the man should yet come thither. And the Lord answered, behold, he had hid himself among the stuff. Put up like NLT. New Living Translation. NLT said, he is hiding among the baggage. So when they packed stuffs and all of that, Saul went to hide there. And the Lord said, this is where he is hiding. Are you what I'm talking about? That's telling you cannot totally hide from God. One of them can find you out where you are. Somebody can have a missing child. We've seen this one happen. Missing child. Pray. The Lord said, let tell him to go to some place. He will find the child. And just exactly as it was said. See the next verse. Verse 23. And they ran and fetched him thence. They ran. So they go to that place exactly and found him. Amen. So word of knowledge can help. Of course, it can also show people's needs. For instance, Paul was in need. Saul was in need in Acts chapter 9. He was blind. You know, he revealed his need. It was also used for Ananias and Sapphira. If a word of knowledge, I've said it earlier, can be used to reveal corruption in church. It's one of the gifts that God can use to reveal corruption. So when things are going wrong in the church, God can use, an example of that is Ananias and Sapphira. Those guys came to mess with the church. God used that gift to reveal to Peter, to show Peter, this guy is actually lying. And I can tell you this has happened to me many, many times. It happens to me almost every time. Almost every time. Amen. And I wish this was a minister's class, I would have said something. Because that is one of the ways God will communicate to you. One of the ways God will get to leaders. And I want to say this very seriously. In this world of knowledge, then one of the ways is sometimes God can use your emotions as a leader to get to you, towards people. If as a leader sometimes, there's this guy that you always like and what have you, but for some reason, whenever you come around the person in recent times, you are having this kind of strange feeling. You just don't, almost looking like you're not fond of the person like you used to be. The person doesn't know anything, but that thing keeps repeating and repeating. Please pay attention to that stuff. God can invade your own emotions to communicate something to you. And almost every time I've dealt recently, every time this comes around, I just feel this strange stuff. And then I inquired further and found out he was mingling in water. And that's why let me say this to you. If you're in a spiritual church like this, and I'm saying this very clearly, there is actually nothing you are doing that is hidden. We just don't want to tell you sometimes. And I'm saying it emphatically. I say there is actually nothing you are doing that is hidden. We just don't want to tell you sometimes. God, I just want to allow you to outgrow it. I'm telling you. It's one of, and I'm not saying, I said there is nothing you are doing. Actually, when it has to do with corruption, you are just, you're a leader, a worker here. I begin to mingle. Some that are close to me, if you are very close to me, you should know what I'm saying is true. It's not possible for you to mess up and come around me and I will not tell you. I will know. And how you now will know, once you see that one, I begin to ask, if I ask you 3-4 questions, you are getting to the root of the matter. I don't know if you know what I'm saying here. So I just sometimes just keep quiet and watch you. Sometimes I'm watching you to see if you will come around and be bold enough to talk by yourself. Actually, if you're mature enough to talk by yourself. Because again, sometimes allowing you to say it by yourself is also a kind of training I'm giving you to. So you can learn. Because when a child is growing, sometimes the child has to learn to say, I need this. I want paracetamol. I want it as we begin to grow. But for it, there's actually nothing. Once I begin to have that strange feeling around you, I just know that there's something off about this guy now. So immediately Ananias came in, Peter just knew. I'm just saying all this to let you know that the gift of God has not left the church. It has not. We don't always get dramatic like this, but it has not left the church. It has not. Amen. Now someone is getting scared now. Don't be scared, but it's actually the truth. And by the time you become a pastor leading a congregation, and you learn to pray for your people very well, you will also say the same thing I'm saying. There is actually nothing that God will hide from you. You will not exactly know what it is. You will not exactly know, but you just know that there is something off about this guy. You just know that something is indulging in now that is off. You might not be able to place as you grow, you'll be able to, but at first you might not be able to know exactly what it is. And every pastor here can testify of the same thing. Every leader here can. Once I pray for people, you just know that this guy is off. That's some of you, I can see you plainly. Why do you think I can see you sometimes and ask you, how is your prayer life? And the answer is always, it's not good. How do I know? I get what I'm saying. So that is that gift. That was what Peter used on Ananias. That's what he used. And so if you're not a pastor that is blind, a leader that is blind, a minister that is blind, people can play you right under your watch and you will not know. The gift of God is very powerful. You know, my pastor's spiritual father had this experience when he was quite very young in ministry. Very young in ministry. Had a vision. I think it was either him or the wife. I don't know. But God spoke to them. Where all, not one, all the assistants came in one day and resigned. And all of them engineered by their wives. They saw the conversations that they had in their rooms. And on that day, they were just sitting and all of them came in, all of them took that decision. On the same day, all the assistant pastors. You get the point? And when he wasn't bothered. Because God already has shown him. I'm coming to that much later. God just came in and said, I'm resigning. He told them, okay, fine. I think one of them came back and said, why are you not? Because he wasn't moved. God had prepped him up. Hallelujah. He wasn't moved. He said, okay. Bye. Because God actually didn't want his servant to be broken. That thing can break a minister. Not like one, all your assistants. All assistant pastors can say, we are done. On the same day. Now, I'm trying to show you, the gift of God has not left the church. And if you're a leader at any capacity in this church, one of the things that you have to flow mightily, this word of knowledge, it will help you. It will help you. Even your relationship, even sometimes in knowing the kind of regimen to put people under, knowing the kind of assignments. That's why, let me even digress to say, that's why as you're working with your leader, don't try to compare yourself. I may be dealing with this person this way and not dealing with you that way. It's because of what I know about the person that you don't know. You get the point? Pastor's always talking with that brother all the time. But me, he rarely ever talks to me. There may be something I know about that person. Maybe something God has shown me and said, bring that one close and up in the next 3 months to help him get over this. I get what I'm saying? So, God opens our eyes. We are not blind. You are not deaf. You hear God. So we see that gift used to expose corruption and what have you in the church, and of course discipline and the rest of them. Glory to God. You know, Jesus Jesus used the word of knowledge to choose a program venue. Mark 14 verse 13. I've seen this play out many times. Not in my own life yet, but I've seen this play out in the life of, and the man of God was driving past a place. They were trusting God for a land, and the Lord said, this land is where people are going to build your church. It's word of money. They got there and those people said, no, we don't even want to sell our land. What kind of rubbish is that one? It has never even come up in our conversation. He said, but the Lord said, this land is going to be our land. I would say he extended forth to his disciples and said unto them, go ye into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wheresoever he shall go in, say you to the good man of the house, the master said, where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large. So how did Jesus know that he are going to meet a man carrying water? That's what of knowledge. He said, well, it's just everybody that man leads. So that man carrying water is not the main thing. He was just meant to lead them to where the venue meeting is going to hold. I guess what I'm talking about. Just see him and follow him. I've seen this place so beautiful. Amen. I said amen. You know what we're going to use for Zoe this year? You know, the day we went to find that venue, we had already chosen a venue, spoken with the pastors on the chat. I said, this is what we're going to use and all of that. And I went there. I think it was the pastor then and my wife. We went there, looked around. I saw the manager, spoke with the manager and all of that. I said, okay. So we left. The price was even looking fair. But I just told them, well, let's get to this other venue. Let's get to the base. Let's look at this. In the light, got in there. I just knew this is what we're looking for. So I came back to the chat and told the pastors, we're not using another place again. We'll see what we're not using now. Ministry is by the Spirit. It's not always about being, you know, calculated. Don't always calculate things and calculate your destiny away. There is word of knowledge. That so we're seeing it was used in the ministry of Jesus to choose a meeting place, to find a meeting place and, you know, and all of that. I've already said it can help you to know men's thoughts. Man's thoughts. I've already said that. You know, in John 2 verse 24. Let me just give you a scripture for that. In John 2 and verse 24. John 2 verse 24. Are you here? Read with me, everybody. Jesus did not call me. Start from 23. I wanted to see where I'm going to with this. Now, when he was in Jerusalem and the Passover in the feast day, many believed in his name when they saw the miracles which he did. But verse 24, what the Bible said, Jesus did not commit himself unto them because he knew all men. So even though he worked miracles, I said, Jesus, you are the light of the world, Jesus. He knew their hearts. He knew what they were thinking. This will help you with your relationship. For instance, in the healing ministry, that's another example now, it can also be used to reveal people's sicknesses. So, in the healing, you can just use word of knowledge to know that this person is sick. And this can be very dramatic. Sometimes God is showing you this person is sick, and the person looks very healthy. Person is okay. I know they're saying he's sick. And you can even get to know the exact sickness. I've had cases where people come to me and say, "Sir, I have this. And I just want to pray for you. And what is coming to my spirit is not even that sickness you mentioned at all." Let me say this to you. Follow the experts, medical experts. Follow them. But when there is a counter instruction from the Spirit of God, please follow the Spirit of God. Because experts can fail too. I know people that have died because for a very long time they were treating them with a wrong diagnosis. You people know what I'm saying now, don't you? So don't act as if people are perfect. Died because they are treated with a wrong diagnosis. So that's it. Real life people stand for me. I say, they know, just ulcer. The Lord said, no, it's not ulcer. So what's wrong with the person says ulcer? The Lord is saying, it's not ulcer. Sometimes the Lord says to me, command that satanic projection in your system to disappear. That's not ulcer. And we just did, the person is fine. So one of those you can know, this one guy that flowed in this mightily was William Branham. Once you are sick, just line up. You don't tell him your sickness, he will tell you. People will call one by one, he will meet them and he will tell you what is wrong with you and then pray for you. Sight by the Spirit. So we're going to flow in this a lot. Are you here? We're going to flow in. So that's word of knowledge. I just took time to just show you that. I know this is clear enough. Glory to God. So it's yes. So let's leave this. I'll come to how to flow later, but let's look at word of wisdom. Word of wisdom. Word of wisdom is not wisdom, having not wisdom about life. It's not being a wise person. That's not word of wisdom. That's not word of wisdom. It's not being wise. Word of wisdom is actually a supernatural revelation by the Spirit of God concerning the divine purpose and plan in the mind of God. Concerning the divine plan, the divine purpose in God's mind. Most times, of course, not most times, but sometimes it can function together with word of knowledge. So it's in that context that people always say that word of knowledge does not stand alone. Well, sometimes it doesn't stand alone. But sometimes it can stand alone. I've just shown you many places that it stood alone. Apart from the last one I mentioned, where it can be used to reveal sickness and then healing takes place. There are places where I've shown that word of knowledge just stood alone. Jesus used it on that woman. Peter used it on Ananias. Are you see here? You know, where it can just stand alone. Jesus just knew men's thoughts. He didn't do anything, but he made him stay away and not commit himself to them. Amen? So you can get to know men's thoughts. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, there's something, there's a scripture about this knowing men's thoughts that I love so much. I think that's 1 Samuel chapter 9 and verse 19. You know, when Samuel met Saul. I love how we can be bold in the prophetic. Samuel answered Saul and said, "I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today, and tomorrow I will let thee go, and I will tell thee all that is in thy heart." Imagine that. Just go. Tomorrow I will tell everything you are thinking. Glory to God. So what knowledge can actually reveal people's thoughts, what they have in their mind. I love the things of the Spirit, though. It's so beautiful to do. Just tell somebody, "You're welcome. Sleep, eat, enjoy. Tomorrow I'll tell everything you're thinking about." When somebody talks to you like that? So is he a witch? Hallelujah. Okay, so what of wisdom I've advanced again is the revelation or the revelation by God's Spirit of the divine purpose, the things in the mind of God, you know, concerning a place, concerning things, concerning peoples, concerning individuals. The peoples, I purposely added the S. You know, there is people that is people that is peoples. Are you aware? Are you aware? If you don't know, just browse it, you'll find out. peoples, concerning communities, concerning nations. So you can actually, you know, get to know what God is planning, what the plan of God is over a people, over a nation, over a community, over a person. For instance, in that Acts chapter 9, after the Lord told Ananias to go speak to Saul, in verse 10, and he gave Ananias also a word of wisdom about Saul's future. Amen? Continue. Just go from verse 10 down. Just go down. He prayed. Verse 12. Continue, please. Continue. Ananias said, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he had done to thy saints at Jerusalem. And here he had authority from the chief priest to bind. So, and that's what telling God, I've heard that this man came here to actually kill us. But look at what the Lord said to him in verse 15. The Lord said to him, go thy way, for he's a chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. So this was God telling Ananias about the future of Saul's ministry. You get the point? He will bear my name. That's word of knowledge there. Word of wisdom, rather. So by word of knowledge, he got to know about Saul. But word of wisdom was now where God began to show him what he had in mind concerning Saul's future, Saul's ministry. In fact, in verse 15, he made it very clear that Saul was going to be sent to the Gentiles. So even before that Acts 13 of Sabbath, Paul and Barnabas happened, like what I'm talking about, Ananias had known from time immemorial that God was going to send this guy to the Gentiles. Notice Acts 13 of Sabbath, Barnabas and Saul happened over 10 or 20 years after this particular experience. But decades before that, Ananias already knew that this guy was going to the Gentiles. It's a word of wisdom. Where God can speak into the future. That's the gift that the prophets of the Old Testament used a lot. Some of them spoke into 400 years ahead. Some of them, Isaiah spoke about the birth of Jesus that was going to happen like 1,000 years before, after he was born. Word of wisdom. You can speak and talk about the divine plans, wills, and purposes of God. I can tell you now, I will explain it later, that is actually the most important of the revelation gifts. Because it is always the gift of that gift that brings direction. Watch what I'm going to show you. So you notice that's a word of knowledge, a word of wisdom right there. In Genesis 6 and verse 13. Are you still here? And God said unto Noah, the end of all flesh is come. So this is actually about Noah. God told him to build an ark because flood was going to come. Rain was going to come. So that information of rain is going to come is actually a word of wisdom. He got to know what was coming in the future. And of course, word of wisdom always carries direction. That's why we say it is the most important. Not as though that's not important. It always carries direction. So flood is going to come, Noah. See what you do. Build an ark. Are you following what I'm saying? Ananias, I've chosen Saul to be a vessel. So you go and lay your hands on him. That's always direction. I get what I'm saying? Always direction. So we see God telling Noah about an ark that he was going to build. And that was a word of... In Acts 11:28, we see Prophet Agabus prophesy about a famine that was going to come. He said there should be a great death throughout the whole world. So famine was going to come. Put a penalty. He just used death. Was going to come. And a prophet by the word of wisdom got to know. So one of them named Agabus stood up in one of the meetings, just like we are here, and predicted by the Spirit that a great famine was coming upon the entire Roman world. This was fulfilled during the reign of Claudius. So, word of wisdom got to know what was going to come in the future. But look at what happened in verse 29, because I said there was always direction. So the believers in Antioch decided to send relief to brothers and sisters in Judea, everyone giving as much as they could. So because there was a word of wisdom, it always comes with direction. So what do we now do? To either align ourselves to what is going to happen, prevent whatever the devil is planning. I know what I'm talking about. What are we going to do to align to this word? That's always a word of wisdom. Amen. In Acts 27 and verse 23, we look at Paul, and they were traveling on the high sea. He said, there stood by me this night an angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. And verse 24, he told him, fear not, Paul, for that shall be brought before Caesar. So, by word of wisdom, Paul got to know that this particular ship they were traveling on, that nobody was going to die. And look at the instruction and the direction that followed. Fear not. By verse 25, look at what Paul now told them. Verse 25, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. I believe God. You know, cheer up. Everything's going to be fine. Word of wisdom. You know, so I've already pointed out some of the needs, some of the importance, some of the uses. Amen. So we see, for instance, it can be used to warn and to guide people concerning future judgment or future danger. Concerning what is coming. So in Matthew 2 verse 13, the word of wisdom came to Joseph to carry Jesus and escape to Egypt because Herod was coming to kill him. This was way before Herod gave that word that every child under 2 will die. God already spoke to Joseph, saying, wrong with this child. Are you following what I'm talking about? So by word of wisdom, you can get to know what is coming. I've already shown you Acts 11:27. So you can warn about future danger. Future danger. Future danger. What the devil is planning in the future. Amen. Look at Acts 21 verse 4. Acts 21 and verse 4. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Verse 4, you read down to verse 10. Agabus came and took Paul's girdle and announced that the one that owns this girdle, you know that story now, that he was going to be killed and persecuted when he goes to Jerusalem. But you notice that particular prophetic word, a word of wisdom, was not supposed to stop Paul. It was just to encourage him. Because Paul told them that he already knew. So, well, sorry for another day. So there are many examples of word of wisdom. So I'm showing you already, it can be used to warn and to guide you concerning future danger. Concerning future danger. And this plays out in the church a lot. It helps me a lot as a pastor. God can warn us about a danger that is coming. Amen. So the devil can plan something in the future. God can bring a word of wisdom to show you and tell you what to do to avoid it. That's why sometimes when God speaks to you and gives you direction, follow it. Do you know you can be working in your company and the Lord says, leave this company, resign now. You're wondering why? Why is he saying I should resign? Resign. Because in the future, in the next 3 months, something is going to happen and they will arrest everybody in this company. I get what I'm saying. And then 3 months after, they say, oh, we just found out that all of you are under arrest. I get what I'm saying. So God can warn you about future danger. Danger that is coming. That's why, again, we are not without help. We are not. By a word of wisdom, you can get to know that famine is coming. That was what Joseph used in Egypt now. He got to know that famine was coming, and then look at the direction, they began to save. They began to save. So when the famine came, they were not affected. Are you following what I'm saying? So what can show you? So you must pay attention to the Spirit of God. You must pay attention to the Spirit of God. Because sometimes the dangers that we eventually get ourselves involved with, we've been warned ahead of time against those dangers, but we didn't listen. We didn't pay attention. So, it can warn you about future danger and all of that. Of course, it can reveal God's plan. It can reveal God's plan. It can reveal God's plan and all of that. It can also, you know, God can use it to assure you. Show you what is going to happen in the future and all of that. It can give you assurance of a future blessing. The word of wisdom will come to you and tell you, don't worry. This is going to happen in your future. Just that it always comes with instructions. So that's why sometimes, I want to add what I'm going to say now. That's why sometimes you find out that some word of wisdom can be conditional. You know what I said? Some words of wisdom can be what? Talk to me can be what? Conditional. What that means is, because word of wisdom always carries direction, you must pay attention to the condition attached to that word that you received. So, I'm going to make you a great man. You know, let me give an example. When I wanted to get admission into school, in my prayer, the Lord told me, I'm telling you, before I went back to school, the Lord told me, emphatically, you are going to be the JCB president of your school. Clearly. That's what I'm saying. That clearly, that particular word happened 3 years after. But it, of course, it directed me. And to see how it played out, the first day I came into school for something, the very first day I came into school, they were holding a JCB meeting that day, the program. And I walked into that meeting and I felt so bad. It wasn't looking JCB anything. There were about 30 or 40 people just gathered doing their thing. And this is JCB school-wide campaign. So, the need from that first year, God began to plant that button in my heart. I know what I'm talking about. I began to plant it. So, well, what did I do? I didn't tell this to anybody. I just wrote it in my notes. It's still in my notes. So, I joined the fellowship. He had to lead me to the fellowship to join. And I joined that fellowship. I just stayed there and stayed growing. I stayed growing in the ranks and the fellowship and all of that. And when the time came, he played out. So, God showed me that. And if I had gone into that school, for instance, and refused to be part of a fellowship. And you know, in my second year in that fellowship, something happened. I will still tell you guys one day. Maybe leadership conference or anytime we're having leadership class. Something happened that pissed me off a great deal. Very, very well, I was pissed off. It was really, if I tell yourself, go follow me first. You contribute your vex. So I took my office file, and I went to my former president. I said, see, I'm done with this office. I'm not doing again. Take and tell them that I'm not doing again. God has been using me before I became a fellowship. I'm for real. And the guy just said, well, Henry, I know you. Said one or two words of encouragement. Said, just go continue. Tidy this thing up. God has bigger plans. I listened to him and I went back and continued. If I had dropped that file, that stuff God told me in my first, before I get admission, wouldn't have happened. I'm just trying to tell you the word of wisdom can be conditional. You get the point? So I just went and just continued what I was doing. Took all the whatever that was coming with it and just endured it. And eventually, because one major reason God brought me to that school is to be JCB president. I know it. That was one major reason God brought me to that school. One major reason. I could have said it's the major reason, but let me just say one major reason. And I knew it. I could have just missed out on that particular thing. It's not like they didn't pay me. It's not like it's a position where they pay you. But it was an opportunity for me to at least express what God has put inside of me and do what He wanted me to do in the school. Amen. So everybody in that school can tell you that I literally laid the foundation for JCB in that school, literally. Ask questions with my full chest. But God told me that ahead of time. And I just had to make sure I align myself to it. So that's word of wisdom, actually. He can show you what will happen in your future. Some of you, God is showing you what is happening, what is going to happen after you are done with school. Some of you are getting to know what God will do with you 5 years after. You must align yourself to it. If not, it will not happen. I get what I'm saying. For instance, when God showed them that I was going to be a famine, why do you think God showed them? God showed them because He didn't want the believers in Jerusalem to die of hunger. So they had to take an action. If they didn't take that action, those believers would die of hunger. So that's where that word of wisdom did not fulfill its purpose. I follow what I'm saying. So words of wisdom are always conditional. Always. That's why there is need for alignment. And I say it again, like I've always been saying, this is what is lacking in the prophetic movement that Nigeria has. People don't know how to clearly discern and handle prophetic words. See, a man of God gets a word that so-so person is going to be Nigeria president. Let's even say what he said is correct. And just announces it and thinks that just because he announced it, that person will be Nigeria president. That person will not even be a counselor. Because I tell you what, if I'm praying in this place and the Lord points any of you out to me that you're going to be Nigeria president in 2031, you'll be Nigeria president soon. I'm not even announcing it to everybody. I'm not even tell you. We have to align. We have to work, not just spiritually, politically. Play the politics. I know what I'm saying. Do everything. Start a foundation for philanthropy. Join a political party. There are things to do. Because in Nigeria, I don't think that because the Lord said that suddenly they'll come and pick him up. He said, but the Lord, Saul was in his house, they came to pick him. No. Israel, they were not practicing democracy. They were practicing theocracy. It was God that picked the leaders. In Nigeria, it is the people that pick the leaders. So when God says you're going to be the president, God is telling you what he wants that you must align yourself to. So God, you are there declaring I'm the president, the next president. You're not in any political party. Or you're in one insignificant party. WPS. As political party. And so you think you're just going to win suddenly. Except the Lord now says, stay here. You know that there are such things. The Lord says, stay here. Fine. But apart from that, you have to align yourself. I get what I'm saying. Some of you that have walked up to me, I've had a few people that have met me, that God is talking to them about politics. I've told all of them, join a political party now. Yeah. So there are people in the church that are actually down in political parties as we're talking. You understand? Because you are aligning for the future. So when the time comes, it will just play out. You are going somewhere. So don't worry. But I'm just saying, prophetic word of wisdom doesn't just happen like that. Yeah, your room God told you. He said, but it's maybe David was in the bush, taking care of his fathers. David's example is not meant to give you any wisdom in politics. It should give you a wisdom in ministry. It's a ministry that will practice theocracy, not in politics in Nigeria. In Nigeria, we'll practice democracy. Theocracy in the sense that, you know what I mean by theocracy? Government of God. Where I can just be here praying and the Lord says, oh, this sister here is going to be the next pastor of social center. Nobody's asking for your opinion. Whether you vote or not, that's the next pastor of the center. That's theocracy. That's what happens in church. People actually want to practice democracy in church and think that theocracy will work in the world. It doesn't happen like that. The world does democracy. In church, you do theocracy. We choose. If I wake up and decide that this person is now the ushering cord, you can't say no. That person is the ushering cord. But it's not like that in the world. When God tells you you're going to be a local government chairman, how do you think you're going to be? By just doing evangelism. You will not be nothing. It's not so when they do in government house. So what is the first thing I'm going to do if God tells me this person is going to be governor of whatever? I will begin to put that person, take the person. First of all, I'll give him a spiritual stamina so he will not go there again and disgrace us. So I'll become very tough with his training. I'll begin to demand the things that others can do and go scot-free. He will do it and he will not go scot-free. I'll begin to demand. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to shape his values. You know what I'm saying? I will demand that until he aligns and becomes very Christ-like. While we are doing that, I will start telling him, read this leadership book. Read that book on leadership. Not Christian leadership now. Read that John Maxwell book. Read that Brian Tracy book. Just begin to show him all those leadership things. If I now say, don't you think you should actually go and take a leadership course? Not church now. I'm trying to, because actually many church people, I said, word of wisdom, you have to align. There are many church people now that if they become Nigerian president, they will flop. Not because they are wicked people, but because they don't know how to do. You understand? They don't even know what to do as a governor. They don't even know what to do.
I just get in there and say I'm going to set up a prayer team. The prayer does not rule Nigeria. I'm telling you. It doesn't. So there is that alignment. I don't know why I'm talking about politics this morning. So if God is talking to you, align. You get the point? Because some people don't even know what to do. What is budget? How do you even, what do you do when you become a governor? Some people don't know. And that's why they get in there. All they have is the Lord said. Align yourself. Align yourself. Align yourself. Are you what I'm talking about? Align yourself. Whatever God is showing you in your career, align yourself. God is showing you you're going to be at the top of your career. Why have you not picked up your master's form yet? Why? I'm talking to you. Why have you not picked up your master's form yet? What is holding your PhD form? Is there an age you get to before you become you have a doctorate degree? One of my sons here, that pastors, you know, one of our sons that comes here for Zoe, that for this national meetings, he has a church that he's pastoring. He just finished his master's. He has picked up his PhD just in the lab because I know where God is taking that guy in his career. So he's doing his PhD currently. He's not married. Just single. Doing PhD. Are you what I'm talking about? Because we don't realize that you don't just suddenly get to wherever God is taking you. If he has shown you, begin to align yourself. You know, I'm saying all this because I said, word of wisdom, they are always conditional. God shows you you'll be a great medical doctor. Now you're in medical school. Now you're not reading your book. Now you want to fail out. You see what the problem is? Oh, hallelujah. Align yourself. You're going to be fine. Because God can actually use word of wisdom to assure you of a future blessing. Just like in church, God can use word of wisdom to show us where he's taking us to as a church. 2019, I can't forget. I was praying and the Lord showed me where he was taking us to as a church. And he gave me that word that I gave you guys, that it will be a broken cistern cannot hold water. You know why he gave me that word? Our church was just running on autopilot. There was no other. Anything could just happen. Then, everybody, anytime you like, come. When you don't like, people are coming, you know. The Lord said, bring order, because when I bring in what I want to bring into your house and your system is broken, you cannot hold water. Simple. So, I held a retreat, workers' retreat, across all the centers, you remember that year, where I taught on proper behavior in church. Do you have that message? Proper behavior in church. That message was so long that when they post, if you go on site, you're going to see proper behavior in church 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. It's actually one night that I said that was, they just broke it down because they couldn't post the whole thing. So I think it was about 6 or 7 hours or so. Amen. I'm sure you slept, but amen. But I'm saying, that's why, let me say this in digression. Most of the things we do in church here are responses to instructions from God. Sometimes you just see me come back and begin to act in some funny ways. It's because there is something God has shown me and I'm trying to get us to align to it. You get the point? I'm trying to get us to align ourselves to it. If not, we'll just miss out of it. So word of wisdom. Let me see Genesis 28 verse 15. That scripture has been, you know, we try to ignore it. Genesis 28 verse 15. He said, behold, I am with thee. This was God talking to, verse 15. This was God talking to Jacob. I am with thee. I will keep thee in all places where thou goest. I will bring thee again to this land. I will not leave thee. They told him, I am with thee. I will bring you back to this land. So actually, in Genesis 28 already, you are seeing God, this is powerful, promising Jacob that he will return him to this land. That was fulfilled. Many, you know, at that time, Joseph had not even been born. That was fulfilled many years after, when Israel has gone into captivity, 400 years after, God brought them back to that land. Do you get what I'm talking about? So God already, but you know, God already told Abraham that he will bring him back to this land. How can God be saying you will bring me back? I've not even left the land. He said I will bring you back. Because by word of wisdom, he was already saying that in the future, your descendants are going to leave this land. But that's why when Jacob was going to die in Egypt, he told his children that he knows that God is going to take them back to their land. And he told them, once you are going, please carry my bones. Because God told me he will bring me back to this land. I guess what I'm talking about. So we can actually see ahead. We are not as blind as you think we are. We can see what is happening. Okay, so the third one is discerning of spirits. Amen. Discerning of spirits. Do you have room for more? Do you have room for more? Can you take some more? Like how many more hours can you take? No, you shouldn't have said 30 minutes. I've said half an hour. So people, you don't know it's 30 minutes you're trying to say. Amen. Today is an immersion, I told you, right? Are you enjoying the word? Glory to God. So discerning of spirits, please. Let me, discerning of spirit is not discernment. It's not. It's not the gift of discernment. It's not the ability to find fault in people. To have the sign of spirit. When I just look at you. No. It's not suspicion. It's not the gift of suspicion. You know, some people have the gift of suspicion. Because I was talking about word of knowledge 2 minutes ago. Some people, they don't have word of knowledge. They have suspicion. Because I just said you can see people and know what they're doing wrong. You say, yes. Just Oku naga wara wara. Anya naga wara. That's not word of knowledge. Eh? The leg that walks about. My eye, I got my eyes on you. That's not word of knowledge. That's not word of knowledge at all. Amen. A pastor cannot operate by suspicion and setting traps for people. You know, pastors set trap for people to fall in. Amen. And they set people to, they send spies. Anyway, there's nothing wrong with doing that. Do you understand? There's a place in pastoral ministry that you send spies. There are places like that. And pastors should learn to do that once in a while. I'm telling you for real. Let me tell you this story. A particular church, a pastor told us, real life, a very big man in this nation. They got, a brother got married to a sister in the church. Went home with a sister. Entered, the guy has no house. He's squatting with his friend in one room. Not self-contained, one in yard. Squatting there. It's not even his house. And they're married. So that church now made a law. Before you marry, if you want to marry any sister, you will write down your address. And on one day you'll not know. The church will send at least 3 people to come and inquire around that place to find out, is he living here? For real, today that's what they do. So sometimes it's good to send spies. Do you understand? That one is not bad. Is he living here? Because it's important. Brothers are interested. Not people here, though. But actually, I'm trying to say, once a church begins to increase in number, you expect many things. Different people can enter church. That's why every church must have some structures. For instance, you cannot come to this church as a brother or a sister and under 1 year you find love. You cannot find love in this church. It's not possible. There is no love anywhere for you. We will not approve it. Because for all we care, you could have come here, maybe you came here to find love. But have you seen this kind of things happening? Real life, you see someone that is an unbeliever just joins a church just because of this girl. And then, no, so by the time you come here, there are churches I know, 3 years you cannot find love there. Anything under 3 years, they will not accept. And don't, so sometimes don't say, pastors are too strict. Those things are for your safety. Before somebody will come and find you. Person has been eyeing you for long and knows that you will not say yes until they join your church. They just join your church. After 2 months, they say, I see a beautiful flower. Every wise pastor should say, don't touch that flower. Glory to God. So, there is a place for such spying. Maybe we can say, let me find out this place. Because there's a story a pastor told us that broke my heart. A Muslim, total Muslim, joined a Christian church just for that purpose. Not only is he a Muslim, he's broke. Everything, but he came with cars. Real life, it's not like Nigerian film. The man that shared this story with us is not somebody that is fortunate. Real life story, came with cars, came with whatever, became a serious brother. He was in every cell meeting. He was in every fellowship meeting. He was in everything. In less than 2-3 months, marriage has happened. Marriage happened and then they went to him. Said, the sister got home, real life story, got home that as she was just undressing and what have you, she saw the guy crossing his leg, doing his Allah Kuba prayer. He said, ah, babe, what are you doing? He said, shh. He was just doing his thing. He said, I'm actually a Muslim. I joined that church because of you. So don't ask me what I think. Do you want to know what I think? Leave this matter. You ought to awake the apostle in me. If I tell you what I think. So there's a place for, you know what failed that sister? What failed that sister is that is our church. Except she didn't listen. The church doesn't set up enough structure to protect that girl. I guess what I'm talking about here. So it's not about preaching on stage. I have a responsibility to set up a structure that will protect you. So that's why you complain. He said you should pray for 3 months. All those structures is to protect you. To protect you. Actually, that's the reason. For you can marry Jezebel. My mommy water. I'm bringing it to your house. Amen. What led us to this? Design of spirits. It's good we're talking about spirits now. Mommy water, spirits. Because I want to look at the design of spirits. Amen. So, generally speaking, design of spirits is the ability to see into the spirit. That's what it is. To design spirits. To see into the spirit. That's why you wonder why the entire Bible is full of visions, yet there is no gift of the Spirit called the gift of vision. I get what I'm talking about. That thing is the discernment of spirit, to be able to see into the spirit. And can I tell you, discernment of spirit is a very powerful gift. You can discern any spirit. Of course, there are three major kinds of spirits. That is divine spirit, that is evil spirit. And there are human spirits. You can see anyone. Amen. For instance, I'll give you an example. You can see God. This is very interesting. In the Genesis, you can see God. Say, Pastor, nobody can ever see God. Wait. In Isaiah 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord. So you can see the Lord. So what does that mean? You can see a similitude of God. A similitude of God. Similitude. Yeah, that's what I said. Should I spell it? A similitude of God. So you can see a similitude of God. So when I say Isaiah saw the Lord, he obviously saw a representation of God. At least in that vision, that was God. I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and all of that. So you can see God in visions. So when a man of God is talking and saying, I saw the Lord, sealed and lifted, that he's not actually forging things. You can see God. He's the son of spirit, because God is a spirit. You get the point? You can see God. You can see, you can even see Jesus. You can see Jesus. You can see Jesus. In Acts chapter 7 verse 55, Stephen said, I saw the Lord, I saw Jesus, seated at the right hand of the Father. He saw the glory of God and Jesus standing rather on the right hand of the Father. So you can see the risen Christ. So it's not strange that we can be praying now and your eyes will open and you see Jesus. How long have you ever seen Jesus in our vision? Anybody? Don't be bold. You're not being too superstitious. You are not being too spiritual. Raise your hand. Yes, you can actually see Jesus is a descending of spirit. So I saw Jesus standing on the right hand. Okay? Of course, in Revelation 1, John saw Jesus So, discerning of spirits, you can see Jesus, you can see the Lord. You can see, you don't, in fact, funny enough, I think it was in Revelation 4 verse 5 that John said that he saw the spirits. Can you imagine that? Revelation 4 verse 5. Said he saw the seven spirits of God. But you notice, watch what's happened, because I was going to get this, but let me show you. Said, out of the throne proceeded lightnings and thunderings and voices, and there were seven lamps of fire burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. So you notice, the seven of spirits, all, when you begin to see spirits, you are actually seeing figures. So what did John see actually in his vision? He saw seven lamps. But those seven lamps were the seven spirits of God. So when you see, I saw the Lord, it doesn't mean like you saw, I know what I'm talking about, that you see like God. You can see a figure. John saw lamp. Because for John to say, I saw the Holy Spirit, what does that mean? He saw lamps, but he knew that those lamps were representing the seven spirits of God. Are you still here? You know there are not seven Holy Spirits. I just have to clarify that. When you see seven spirits of God, don't think there are seven different Holy Spirits. No. Seven spirits of God, I've explained that many times, is actually seven expressions and manifestations of the Spirit of God. I have a teaching on that, so maybe you refer to that. Amen. So, seven spirits of God. So, you saw the Lord. You can see angels in your vision. You can see angels. Angels are also spirits. So, when you see angels, that's also the telling of spirits. You can also see evil spirits. Yes, you can see demons. You can see demons. Real demons. Amen. Sometimes you may not have to see them wearing black. Sometimes you can see them as birds. You can see them as monkeys. You can see them as anything. You can see them as smoke. I've mentioned one that I saw somewhere around the person. A dark, thick smoke round about that person, following the person around. That was a demonic operation. I didn't see that. I didn't hear it. I saw it in my eyes. Amen. So you can see demons. You can see spirits. You can also see the human spirit. You can see man. For instance, if you see a vision and you see any man in your dream, that's the spirit of the man you're seeing. It's not the man. Because you can be seeing me in your vision and I'm at home. So it's not me. I get what I'm saying. So you can see things. You can see spirits. You can see demons. You can see angels. You can see. And it's a very important gift. Very important gift. And let me show you some places where that gift has played a role. Are we here? I'll show you like 5, 6, or 7, or 8. Are you getting blessed? For instance, in Luke chapter 9, verse 38, we have to be very fast now. In Luke chapter 9, verse 38. Glory to God. And behold, a man of the company cried out, saying, Master, I beseech thee, look upon my son, for he is my only child. Verse 39. And lo, a spirit taketh him. Okay. Hold on. That's actually what I'm looking for. Taketh him and all of that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Blessed be God. Hallelujah. Okay, let's leave that. I don't think I can get that. Amen. Glory to God. In Acts 13 verse 8, let's look at that. Acts 13 verse 8. In Acts 13 and verse 8. Elymas the sorcerer, for his name by interpretation, for so is his name by interpretation, withstood them, speaking to turn away the deputy from the faith. So that guy was just there. Paul was preaching, Elymas was countering. Then Saul, who is also called Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, set his eyes on him. Look at what he said. And he said, O fool of subtlety and all mischief, thou child of the devil, thou enemy of righteousness. Paul was seen into the guy, and that's what was operating in him. So you are full of subtlety. You are full of mischief. You child of the devil. That was by the Spirit of God. Of course, sent the man as that guy went blind. So he saw actually into the Spirit and see that, and saw the Spirit that was walking there. You know, sometimes you have to be very smart. God has to open your eyes to see that there are foul spirits walking in many environments. Many environments. Many. And God is helping me to master this from time to time. So that's when I see people, you know, and they're doing whatever. I just see the spirit that is behind that oppression. I can cast it out. You know, in Acts chapter 16, verse 16, Paul, by discerning of spirits, was able to know that that spirit, anyway, okay, I'm coming to that spirit that was following them, because that sister was following them, declaring, these are the servant men that bring you the word of the Lord. And notice what that spirit was saying was very correct. And this is what I want to say to you. How to know a false prophet is beyond the fact that the person is giving correct prophecies. What I mean is this. Someone can give correct prophecies that cannot fail and is still using the power of the devil. Because if you go to native doctors, they can tell you correct things. Sometimes as I enter, they're telling you things. It's because what this lady was telling Saul, was telling Paul, that was very correct. It was an answer. These are the servants of the Most High God, which you unto was the way of salvation. So she was even preaching salvation in Christ Jesus. I agree what I'm saying. Yet Paul looked at her and commanded that demon to come out of her. So it was obviously he discerned that spirit. He saw that spirit and said, this is fake. This is not real. I've seen this play out anyway. That one was not, this particular I'm going to gist you, is not actually about, I think it's not a spirit there. I just use knowledge of Bible. So if you know the story, they went for mission work, some of my people here. That was a Hamufu. They went there, they just got into the land and were walking around the land, and a madman appeared, came to them. And who was in that mission field? Huh? I have seen some of you. I began to tell you people that you people are doing well. In fact, he was actually praising me. Say, the person training these people is doing very well. You know that kind of thing. A madman bearing testimony to our ministry. And that's why you must be careful with all this. God can speak through anything. It's actually a lie. You get the point? So God can even use a madman to talk to you. No. I'm telling you. So God, billions of Christians on earth, God goes, says, sir, what of Balaam's donkey? Leave that matter. Billions of, you have a pastor, you have a local church, go with a pastor of them and use a madman to talk to you. So when I came, and I was like, how's the mission been? They told me that story, that a madman came to them, and the madman was even praising me, that I'm doing a good job. Well, I don't need the praise of a madman to know I'm doing a good job. So I stood there right and I told him, that's a foul spirit. That's a foul spirit. Because so why did you say that? I don't know where this story in Acts 16 would have ended if Paul allowed it. Because the girl kept coming every day, saying the same thing. You don't let the devil, you don't know what, because if Paul had accepted what this lady was saying, somehow he might also be giving credence to that lady's soothsaying. I agree what I'm saying. So Paul stood there, even though what they are saying is correct, you foul devil, come out of that sister. Boom, sin left. So you don't actually get to know false prophets or false spirits operating because they say something that failed or that succeeded. No. But I can tell you, a true prophet of God can tell you something and it will fail. And I've already shown you why. Because sometimes word of wisdom, there is a need to align to it. Maybe he didn't align to it. Or maybe he didn't even get it correctly. We are humans, we can miss it. I get what I'm talking about. But then a person that is full of the devil can give you a correct prophetic word. And yet, you don't. That's why you must be very discerning. That's, your eyes can open and as happening, they just see. I've seen people as they're coming and say they're men of God. And I'm seeing a very foul influence on them. Sometimes I get to know that, okay, this one just, devil is tormenting it. Sometimes some of them are full partners with the devil. They're in full partnership with Satan. So Saul discerned the spirit and said, no. This is not it. And asked that demon to go. Amen. I've been in church here one day. Some of you remember this story. Standing on this stage ministering, and I just saw, I just came up here. I was preaching. And I think I was trying to read my Bible, and I saw a foul, strange spirit in this place. And if you remember that day in service, I just stopped and began to pray. I was in the middle of my message. I began to, it was in the course of the prayer that the Lord showed me someone that was just sitting. But I didn't see anybody first before. I just saw that strange stuff just pass through my eyes and I just started praying immediately. At first I thought it was an attack on somebody's life. But then I just kept, I found out it was an attack on the church. And this story, you know, that's why I say it again, no pastor should be blind. No human being should be blind. The worst sickness on earth is blindness. Are you aware? Even physically, don't be blind. People that are blind spiritually are the people that the devil can play with the most. Do you know what this lady did after that service? That lady walked around this place. And Pastor Mara met her. But they didn't know anything about it. And she told Pastor Mara that she came here to tell us that something is going to happen in this church. Some of that are very close to us and the leadership and the workers of this church. Most of the battles that are playing out in this church as a last year and all of that, this was what led to it. So many things that happen in the physical are actually spiritually orchestrated. So that something is going to happen in this church. He said, I actually came to tell you people. And she was laughing, saying it. Right? Yeah, she was just killing it. I don't want something to happen. And after I said, in fact, I'm not going to tell you people again. When it happens, your pastor will tell you. And Pastor, I kept saying, what are you saying? She just laughed. I said, don't worry, when it happens. Very foul demonic presence. She never came back after that. Amen. Never came back. And after that, I knew. Now, do you see the funny thing about the story? Pastor Mara didn't tell me this part of her story till this year. I think it was January or February that she first told me about it. I said, I've never heard this story before. But I was contending with that stuff for a very long time. It was that she told me that, you know that, I think she came to my house, I was talking with her, and I told her about that incident, what I saw that day. And she said, ah, Pastor, I'm sorry I've not told you this part. Do you know I met that woman after that service? That's how I got to know about this. I guess, get what I'm talking about here. So you can't afford to be a Christian and you just totally blind like a bat, walking up and down. If there are things happening around you, you can even see angels, you can see spirits, and these things are available to us in Christ. That's why in the next few minutes, I'm going to show you how to flow in these things actually. How to get better with them. How to progress with them. How to make progress with these gifts of the Spirit. Amen. You know, it was Reverend Arugo that entered the hospital one of those days. You know, he entered the hospital. I think, let me get the story for you. Somebody, one of his members had an accident or something. So he came to attend to the person. And then, when he came to attend to that, this is actually not a very good story. When he came to attend to that person, you know, some students met him, you know, some students from the university, from a certain campus, because they know him, he comes there to minister to them. So he just met him. Oh, Reverend, he asked them, what are you guys doing here? He said, there is one of us that had an accident and all that. So could you please minister to him? So the man of God came there and just prayed. He said in the course of his prayer, his eyes opened. He found out that one of those nurses that was attending to that person was a witch. Yes. Amen. I'm not saying nurses are witches. I'm just saying. Yeah. So he saw it clearly. The other part of the story doesn't make sense because he actually told those people. I think there was something he told them. He said, call me back. When they didn't do that, the guy died. They didn't do that. So leave that part. See, you know, in some nurses, because another way to look at this, because I just talked about nurses, that should I say some of these spiritual stuff? The spiritual world is actually real. One day, the same man went to the hospital, and some of the nurses there came to him, and they were telling him to pray for them. To pray for them, that sometimes they can be in this hospital walking, and they see some of the relatives of the sick person trying to use witchcraft to exchange the life of the person about to die with the life of the nurses attending to them. Real life story. So the spiritual, I'm trying to show you, in your career, don't be that blind. Don't be that blind. When my mom was very young,
newly married. She worked, I told you to meet her, she worked in a nursery school. And you see this particular boy, and I'm saying this because we are talking about the manifesting glory of God now. How God needs to open your eyes to help. This particular boy, the guy is very lively. But anytime you ask him questions, anytime he will start crying. Ask him anything, he will start crying. He will never answer. One day my mom called him. I said, what is it? Why don't you? I think there's a girl, but a small boy, a small puppy. What is happening? They say if I answer, they will beat me. So every time they're asking, he sees things, spirits that gather around him, threatening him. Say that and I will beat you. Real. Amen. You see why even as a secondary school, whatever, you have to actually have sight. Seeing and knowing. Must have sight. That you cannot be a nurse on duty, working at night in a hospital, and then foul devils or witches come to claim somebody's life. In a world where you are operating, it should not go there. They want to see it. That's not where you're going to administer whatever. You just know that there's a strange presence here. Drop injection first. Yes. I help that person. Because all those are going to go in. When they come, they have come. I'm not blind. I am not superstitious, but I'm not blind. Yeah. I'm not someone that is always saying, you know, spirit is here. But I cannot tell, I don't know that there are foul spirits, and I see them. I've seen them not once, not twice, not 10 times, not 50 times. I've seen many times. Many times. Even as I walk on the road sometimes. You just see people. You just see that demonic presence around them. Eyes that see. Yeah. Sometimes you also see people. I've used this also the same gospel upon people. I've seen people and I'm just standing there. And I find that glory of God, real life now, around them. And I know there is something. Some of them I walk up to and I say things to you like, you know, God's hand is upon you. That's how it happens sometimes. You know, the day my pastor told this story, I was like, you know, there can be similarity in oppression, and it's not strange that I'm his son. Sometimes I see people literally and I see them standing and I see the light of God like that physically on their head. I said it happens. He said one of those days he was in a meeting. There was this guy that joined the church. And the guy is actually someone that has a calling. But he came to that church deliberately to hide. You know that kind of thing. I just want to come and be a church member. You know that people like that. Or just enter, worship, and go home. I just want to learn the word. I'm not ready for all this ministry. He did all these ministry things in school. Now he wants to just face his life. My dad said he was just, after service, just walking around greeting people. And he saw that light on him. And he walked up to him. I said, there is the light of God upon you. I said, calling upon you. And the guy said, I thought I came here to hide. He life story. We see into the spirit, guys. Yeah. So I thought I came here to hide. You have found me. He said, yes. So it turned out his father was actually a pastor. And there's a major call of God upon the guy in his father's ministry. And he doesn't want that. So he ran away and came to hide. He came to hide in the wrong place. There are places I can direct him. There are churches that you can hide comfortably. Not there. Where a man has sight, he will see you. He will see you. Sometimes he may not see you. He must pick you out somehow. So you can't hide. You cannot hide. They will see you. Thank God for the gifts of the Spirit. Thank God for revelation gifts. Thank God. We can actually see into the Spirit. We can see angelic beings. I minister here sometimes and I see literal angels walk around the building. Attending. I was praying one night and the Lord, I heard the Lord. I saw in the Spirit. That was old vein. I came to church one day and I told you guys that an angel in the city. I was praying literally and I saw an angel. That, you know, there was an angel that came into the city in the days of Herod. And it was the wrong time for Herod to brag. We're just talking, cut off his head. You see, angels are blessed. I love angels when they operate. Story for another day. So you can reveal things. You know, it was through the sin of spirits that Gehazi, the Elisha's servant's eye was opened and he saw
those chariots of fire round about them. So how do we operate in these gifts? Let me show you something I'm trying to show you. These three gifts now. Thank you, Holy Spirit. These three gifts, word of knowledge. Then wisdom. Then discerning of spirits. They operate together most of the time. Now, I've already shown you that they can stand on their own. But most of, let me show you why they operate together. How they operate together. When you see something in the spirit, that's design of spirit. Anything you've designed in the spirit is going to bring about either a word of knowledge or a word of wisdom. If I see something, it's either trying to show me what is happening now, what has happened before, or what will happen in the future. So you see, design of spirit is also a way you can get a word of knowledge and word of wisdom. For instance, that vision that Ananias had, he got to know where Paul was. He had a vision. We can call that design of spirit. Right? But then, through that design of spirit, he brought about knowing where Paul was. Paul was going on, on the way to Damascus, and then he saw a light shine. Remember that story? He saw a light. It was through that place he heard he should actually go into the city and all of that. So, there is direction when the design of spirit takes place. So, you notice, when the design of spirit brings about direction, it should have been the design of spirit that led to word of wisdom. When the design of spirit brings about just an information, it should have been the design of spirit that led to word of knowledge. Do you follow to this point? So word of wisdom too can operate on its own, but sometimes they operate word of knowledge. Sometimes God shows you what is happening now, and now shows you what is going to happen. Sometimes they can stand alone. So both the gifts are interconnected. So I'm just going to tell you how to flow in them. So there are key things you must take note of. One of those major things is, please, God will never, scratch that, that's not true. God will hardly come to you through your physical eyes and your physical ears. God always talks to your inward man. That is the inward man. That is the hidden man. That is the hidden man. That's the person that God communicates to. So, if you're going to flow in word of knowledge of wisdom, you must understand that God doesn't come to you with your physical ear. So, when you hear me say things like, God told me this, it's not like God came to me and said, this, that, no. I rarely hear God like that in my physical ear. Rarely. And I tell you, every Christian rarely hears God like that. Is that inward man? So take note of what I'm going to say. That is what we call the inward voice. Please write it. The inward voice. I know I've talked about the inward witness, and I'm coming to that later. But here in this word of wisdom, word of knowledge, take note of the inward voice. That voice you hear, not in the physical ear, but then your spiritual, just the inward man. You just hear something in your spirit. You can hear somebody's name. You can hear somebody's name. Glory to God. You can hear somebody's name. Yeah. I've been in meetings where I heard people say, clearly. Clearly. I was praying for a meeting. That was many years ago, a couple of years ago now. To minister at Shalom, that day, Shalom Academy. And the Lord told me about this young boy called Ebuka, who was in SS1, who was 14 years old. And I gave it exactly like that. And the boy, Ebuka, SS1, 40 years old. SS1B, 40 years old. Yes. So you can hear things. But I didn't hear that like when God, I didn't hear it in my physical ear. Say, my son, listen, there is Ebuka. It's even okay God doesn't talk to us like that. Always. Because if he does, it means the devil can also get to you easily. Because the devil can also access your physical ear. So sometimes it's okay to talk to us like that. So the inward voice. So Philip in Acts chapter 8 heard a voice. Acts chapter 8 and verse 29. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, it wasn't a feeling, he said, go near and join thyself to this chariot. Yeah. So he heard. So that is inward voice. Excuse me. Then that is inward perception. They just perceive by the Spirit. We just perceive by the Spirit. We just perceive. You know, in Acts 27 verse 10, Paul stood up when they were sailing on that sea and he told them, "Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much worth." I perceive. Acts 27 verse 10. I perceive. I sense in my spirit that this voyage will be with hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. This is what I perceive. So there are times you will not hear anything, but you just sense something in your spirit. It's also a way God gets to you through the word of wisdom. Yeah. I just sense this. And okay, let me make it very simple for you. A strong feeling. Let me just simplify that. You don't know where it's coming from. You just sense very strongly. Sometimes it can be a strong feeling of compassion. Yes. A strong feeling, a strong burden. I just perceive that something is not right about this. I'm just so uncomfortable about this in my spirit. Though we want to carry this out, but I just perceive strongly that we are doing something wrong. That's God talking to you. That's one of the ways God gives you a word of knowledge. Amen. That's why close to this inward perception, that is what I call, I like that one, I call it the inward knowing. Where you just know things by the Spirit. This one is very powerful. Have you ever known things by the Spirit? You don't know how you got to know. You can't remember hearing any voice, but you just know it. Now, that's one of the ways most of the word of knowledge that I have, that's how it works. In fact, in this church, one of the major ways I know what you are going to do next is this thing I'm telling you. I just know that this is it. Strongly in my heart, I just know that this is what I'm going to do next. Amen. As at the beginning of this year, I had never planned that we're going to take Zoe outside this call. I didn't plan. Because we're already paying heavily for the rent here. So, taking Zoe out of this hall, after paying all those rents, go outside, you can pay another rent, all of that. But middle of the year, you know, I just knew it strong in my heart as the year progressed. I just knew that we can't use this place again. I just knew. And I can tell you clearly, the Lord said to me, but actually, I is an inward knowing. What I'm trying to say is that inward knowing, inward perception, and inward voice, is that the same thing? Is God talking to you? It's just how you got it. Amen. Now recently, one of my sons, maybe following this meeting too. I think he's following this meeting. Pastor of a church too. Came to me and I think I was on wife that day. He brought a seed. Don't even remember the amount again. And that was the second time God was leading me to that in my ministry. When he brought it, I just knew in my spirit that God was about to open this guy up to something big financially. And I just knew again that a part of this money should be given to him. I should give it to him prophetically. Represent what I've seen in my spirit. So I called my wife. That day he was so calm. He didn't even understand what I was doing. So imagine you give your pastor money and I can't tell someone, I say, take. And we prayed for him. He came back with testimonies upon testimonies and all of that. I didn't hear that as by hearing, but I just knew it strongly in my heart that this is it. Just knew. That inward knowing is one of the ways God reaches out to you. That's why you notice that if I go for the interview, you find out that many of you actually get word of knowledge, just that you despise it. Have you not known strongly or heard that is what you should do, and you didn't do it, and eventually you wished you did it? I get what I'm saying. Because that's how God just reaches out. I just know that is what I'm going to do. I just know that we need to pray now. I just know that we need to go on. I just know that strong knowing. Acts 16 verse 6. They wanted to go to social place to go and preach, but the Spirit forbade them. So you notice this verse. It didn't say there was a voice that said, "My sons, don't go there." No. They just felt that we shouldn't be going there now. You shouldn't be going there now. So you can either hear a voice telling you this is this person's name, this is the problem this person has, this is what this person is passing through. Sometimes you don't even hear a voice. You're just holding someone, you just know strongly that this is what is happening. Sometimes I hold some of you and I just know strongly that this one is going to get a job very soon. Yeah. And if I give it to you, he cannot fail. Cannot fail. Yes. I tell you, thus says the Lord. Why is it just something you just know in your heart? It's the Lord that put that knowing there. You get the point? It's the Lord that put that knowing there. So you can hear, you can perceive. You can, all of them is the same thing, you know, it's just different ways of saying what I'm saying. You can perceive, you can know by the Spirit. That's why I want to say to you, do not doubt the things you hear in prayer. The things you hear in prayer, things you know in prayer, please don't doubt them. Don't doubt them. Don't doubt them. Don't doubt them. Many of us have made a shipwreck of our lives because we doubted the things that God put in our hearts. There are relationships that you know should have ended a long time ago. God has said that to you. You didn't hear, but you just know it strongly. And sometimes somebody sent talking out of you, just know it. You know, one of the ways I know that I should minister to sick people, I said it earlier, is compassion. Sometimes when I see someone and I felt that, and one of the things, not all the time, but sometimes I just feel that strong compassion of the Spirit. I just know. You know, it was my pastor preaching this last meeting we went to. He said that God messes with our emotions. Actually. He can mess with the emotion totally. Sometimes, you know, when you're not trained in these things, you will think that you are just sad or you are depressed. You're just somewhere as a man of God, and then you see someone, you just feel suddenly a wind of sadness or depression just blows through. And you're just so, if you're not careful, you will think, I just got depressed. Maybe it's not. Maybe there is someone. That's why, you know, as you progress in your walk with God, in visions and all of that, you begin to find out that some of your dreams are not for you, are not about you. You know, my dad gave an example when he was teaching. He said, a man of God can see a dream of where someone is messing with his wife. And it's not about him. He said, for instance, it could even be something that God's trying to show you that someone is messing with my bride, the church. But if you're not careful, you just go personal. Say, babe, tell me, who is the person? I saw it. He didn't say nothing. Are you following me this afternoon? So it can come with that strong knowing. And sometimes it can affect your feelings. Can affect your emotions. And how you know is that by the time you give that word or you act on that thing, it's like that thing lifts and just goes like that. You are not depressed. You are not depressed. Not depression. God is just trying to get across to you. Are you following what I'm saying? Are you guys following what I'm saying? So there is the inward knowing, inward perception. God can reach you mightily through that. Oh, glory to God. You know, I just gave an example. You know, when you hardly see the Bible say, and God said to Paul, really? But you just knew this by the Spirit. Jesus knowing their thoughts. He didn't hear, my son, see what I think. He just knows that thought. Amen. Glory to God. Pray in the Holy Ghost for a moment, please. More time in tongues. Just be seated, pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Pray in tongues. Just pray. Don't stop. Amen. Hallelujah.
You know, sometimes this person now, when you sometimes you just find one of your arms feels like it's getting paralyzed. At times it will pick up again, but sometimes it just is like it goes numb. God is bringing healing actually your way. That's what I'm talking about is here. I don't know whether I should call the person out. I'm just trying to get that. But just one of your arm just goes numb totally. Amen. And then with time, but that what actually is trying to happen, you're actually scared that at a very young age you might have this or have that. If I personally want me to pray for you, please raise your hand. I just want to minister to you by the Holy Ghost. Raise your hand, wave your hand if you like the person. Now, here, online, any of the centers, just get up beyond that line. Is you right? Okay, yeah. Sing this song. Only you are holy. Only you. Only you are wonderful. For there's no like you. Who is faithful? All my life, my heart, my life is a testimony. Please sing that song one more time. Only you are holy. Let me hear you sing. Come on. Only. Only you are holy, Jesus. Come on.
Only you are holy. Only you are worthy.
Only you are one. For there's no one else like
you.
Who is faithful ever
true?
All my life, my heart,
my life.
He's a testimony. There are people here that have been tormented by the spirit of fear. And we are ending that thing. The spirit of fear. Come. Yes. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Just pray. For there's no one else like you. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Projection yes on the left side of your chest, it comes, hooks there, and then it's just very strong there. You've gone to be checked and they said, well, I don't think anything is wrong with it, but it just comes there and it's very heavy, and then it goes, then it comes again. That thing is ended. 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 Yes. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Just pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank Thank you, Jesus. 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 Thank you. In one of the centers, I'm seeing there is someone. I don't know what this is about, but I've seen some parts of your body begins to change its color. It's changing it. It's just changing, not cream, not anything. And you don't know what that is. It's like a break out your system where it begins to change its color. God is bringing healing. And whatever that represents, if you're here and any of the centers are trusting God, there is a surgery case you have, please lift your hands. I just sensed angelic presence that will fix every case of surgery. Father, in the name of Jesus, run through this place and everywhere people are watching and following from. Everyone that is in need of a surgery case, we ask for divine intervention, and let what has to be operated now. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. And you have been so good to me.
God,
I can't believe
how you
love me.
What
a friend you have been.
So good to me.
The Lord says, activate this word, this revelation gift. Please lift your hands. There's going to be activations by some of you that have been trusting God for a heightened flow in these revelation gifts. Father, in the name of Jesus, let there be distributions by God's Spirit. Harandi lokrumba shakate la paya. Kolena radiga diga bezandra de kaya. From here to all the senders, you're hungry to have massive flows in these gifts of God. At the count of seven, let the hand of God come upon you. Number one, number two, number three, number four, number five, six, and seven. Take! Shebalada raba sunyanda. Heightened spiritual perception is very strong here. And I'm not praying again. People are getting it one by one. It's already distributing. If you're ready. Shagagaladaya. Unanana Matea. It's falling upon people one by one, one by one, one by one, one by one. Distributions by the Holy Ghost. 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 Someone had a vision or a dream. In that vision, you saw, literally, you saw something happen, but you saw fire on your hands. Not spiritually, you saw that your hand looked like it was burning in that vision. Yes. You saw like fire, literal fire on your hand in that vision. If you like that, please come. Please come. Let me. Woo! Yes. The healing gift of God's Spirit. The blessing of leadership. Yes. Ability to lead, to guide people into their God-given place. Ooh. Into their God-given place. I don't know who this is for. You are very healthy. To the best of my knowledge, nothing is wrong with you. But you always have dreams where you are sick in the dream. But you are healthy physically. But you still have your dream sick. But physically you are healthy. Please come. I need to send that projection back to where it's coming from. Physically you are healthy. But in your dream, you see yourself where you are sick. Where you are sick. Even like that, just come quickly. Sing that song we sang on the first of meeting. My body is your sanctuary. Yes, sister in yellow, the power of God is coming upon you mightily. Yes, sister. Yes, the power of God is coming upon you mightily where you are standing. Right there. So now I can be bold to say my body. That
is your sanctuary. My body is your sanctuary.
That whole protection is sent back to where it is coming from. In the name of Jesus. I saw the hand of God come upon you, sister. You purified me like a gold. Now I can be bold. I can be bold to say my body is your sanctuary. Listen to me, friends. I think I just have to close this teaching. I think I'm done with this. I'm not done, but the Holy Ghost has just interrupted this whole thing. There is increase. Let me tell you one of the ways to get better with this whole thing. You have to pray a lot in the Spirit. You have to pray a lot in the Spirit. 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 One of the ways to actually get to know further things about people, I thought I was going to get to that today, is to learn to focus on people. I focus on you and I'm praying for you. With focus, maybe not looking at you, focusing on you now, I'll get to make progress. Later, I don't know if I'll come back to it, but later, when we'll be talking about towards the end of this meeting, towards maybe the last week or so, while we're discussing the church, I will explain to maybe the keyboardists and some other people their role in a prophetic flow in Christian meetings. Do you understand? There is the Bible tells Elisha said, "Get me a minstrel," and he began to play. Elisha began to prophesy. So there's actually a role that instrumentalists have to play if the move of the Spirit in the area of the prophetic is going to be very solid in any church. I get what I'm saying. That's a role. As I thought this morning and this afternoon, these things have been activated on your inside. I get to the point. You must begin to practice and dare the things that God has put in your heart. Begin to practice them. Begin to practice them. Let the living water flow over my soul. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control in every
situation that I struggle with my mind. All my tears and burdens unto you.
Let your living water sing.
Let your living water flow from my soul.
Let your Holy Spirit, everybody sing with me.
Let your Holy Spirit come and take control
of every situation.
Of every situation.
Hey, Arab. Rabale Koranda la Baba Shadan. All my fears and burden. Please sing that song wherever you are. I'm hearing that song in my spirit again and again. Let your living water. Let me sing over the place.
Let your living water.
Habarada la Bashana. Let your Holy Spirit come and take control.
Let your Holy Spirit
come and take
control.
Every
situation.
Karada la barada. Hey, dale tos la barada la. All my keys and burdens.
All my keys and burdens.
Oh, the power of God is working mightily here now. Let your living water come and take control. Come on.
Let your living water my soul.
Let your Holy Spirit.
Let your Holy Spirit.
Shalada barada balada bashuna la babarada le babarada la bayada. Of every situation.
Of every situation.
Yeah, barada la babarada kule brada de bashuna la
bab.
All my cares and burdens. Hey, kelada ya la la. Hey, come on. Let your living water,
let your living water,
let your Holy Spirit,
let your Holy Spirit come and take control.
Hey!
Of every
situation. All my keys and burdens.
Aya.
Oh. I sense that anointing of God that lifts burdens. Why the medical professionals say there is somebody I'm seeing in this. I don't know what that means, but the person is seeing blood in his or her urine. What does that mean? Anyone has an idea? Maybe a kidney issue. The same blood in your urine. I don't know what that is. Kidney or not, in the name of Jesus, I bring an end to that stuff. I bring an end to that. Whatever has been called, I bring an end to it. Whether in this center or anywhere, in the name of Jesus, that issue is brought to an end now. Take 3 minutes. Cast your burdens on him all over the space. Cast your cares on him. Tell God that which bothers you. How we got to this point, this man, I don't even know. Just tell God that which bothers you. I just sense that in here. That's mighty presence of God in this place. Tell God that which bothers you. Whoosh.
Of every speed.
Lord, my mind.
Hey!
All my keys and cord unto you.
Take 2 minutes. Tell God that which troubles you. Come to Jesus. Let your living water higher.
Lord, my soul.
Let your Holy Spirit.
Come and take control of every situation.
Let your
my soul
that is sure born my mind. All my keys and burden unto you I owe.
Anything you have, I saw that in the Holy Ghost practically, that has been taken away from you. Anything you have, anything that is yours, that's been taken away from you, they've been trying to get back in 14 days. In 14 days. That is by the 28th day of this meeting. In 14 days, you have what you're looking for in your hands. The Lord said, I will be a restorer. Everything has been taken away from you, you've been trying to get it back in 14 days. Under the unction of the Holy Ghost, you will have what you're looking for back. In the name of Jesus. I saw the Lord arise as a mighty, terrible one. He has stood up and I tell you, whatever that they've taken away from me in 14 days, restoration. You have it back. I mean, between now and 18th of October, whatever that has been taken from you, you have it back. You have it back. You have it back. You have it back. And this matter is by the decree of the watchers. So angels have gone to work. 14 days. I'm seeing what I'm saying. Some of them properties. Some of them things. Some of them even people. If you have someone that's taken, if you have someone that has been missing in your house, in 14 days, they shall be found. 14 days. Whatever that is yours that's been taken away from you, get set. There is a restoration. If within the next 14 days, restoration. God is bringing those things back. Those people back. Those people back. Hallelujah. Your needs are met. Those burdens in your heart are met. The Lord is attending to them now. Return with your testimony. Return with your testimony. Return with your testimony. Return with your testimony. You see, what I'm doing? The Lord is turning things around. Yeah. The Lord is turning things around. He's turning some of your studies. He's turning it around. He's turning it around. Glory to God. Hallelujah. What a blessing. What a blessing. Someone has fibroid in her system. That fibroid is leaving your system now. Now. In the name of Jesus, I speak God's protection and safety upon every baby born into this ministry. I just said, let's do that now. Every baby that belongs to this, every child, God's mighty hand is upon those children. No harm, no hurt, and no shame. In the name of Jesus. So shall it be. Glory to God. Say, my eyes see. My ears hear. My eyes see. My ears hear. My eyes see. My ears. You know there is someone here that in the past few minutes you are saying to the Lord, tell Pastor something about me. Glory to God. Tell Pastor something about me. No, not someone. There are about four people here. Let me see you and let me tell you what God said I should tell you. Okay, well, okay. There are some of you, the word actually is about that turn. I said, what you are looking for, what is yours that's gone from you, is restored. How many of you got that word? You got it? Yeah, it's for you. 14 days. How many days? How many days? Go and war with it. We will dance with you. We will celebrate with you. Amen. God has blessed you. Was this meeting worth it?
Yes, sir.
It's after 2. So that's 8 to 2. How many hours in God's presence? 6 hours. Amen. And I just thought for like 2 to 3 hours. Were you blessed? Well, my note is not finished. Just like God said, I should stop. It's
What a blessing. Give God praise for revelation all over. Just thank Him. Thank Him.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.